Yeah, as Paul was just saying, yeah, I've just recently just come back from being up north, up near Mossman Mareeba area, working with Carl Mush, even though I didn't really see him that much because I was about an hour away from where he was based in Mareeba. I was based in Mossman, living with a lady who was also involved in the ministry, and she's actually originally from the coast here and also worked with the same organisation up in Mossman area as I do here on the coast. So, yeah, it's a bit of a small world, and it turned out that, she'd seen me previously a couple of years prior to me meeting her. So, yeah, it's quite a small world. And, and she just recently lost her husband, so she was still in that grief process. But, we really got on really well and, had a lot in common. And, so while I was up there, I was helping out with women's ministry with the lady Kim that I was living with. So that was run on a Monday evening. So we'd go down to Mossman in the evenings and just have Bible studies there and just social and suppers and stuff like that. And just the women that were part of the ministry, they were new Christians. So, yeah, we just did basic studies with them, and just sometimes after they'd finished, we'd go to one of the ladies' houses and just have coffees and stuff, and just myself and Kim, we'd go and just sit around and just chat and just, spend the rest of the evening there. So sometimes we're at their place until after midnight some nights. And also I was involved in family daycare, which was also based in Mareeba, and a lady named Janice ran that. So, I just helped out there just with just setting up and helping do stuff with the kids and supper. They called afternoon tea May, so that they would all sit around little tables and just, have prayer. Most of the kids weren't from Christian families, and the parents of those kids would come and help out, and so that was really good to get that interaction and stuff like that. What else did I do? I also helped out with stuff in the church, like communion, setting up communion and supper and stuff like that. So, yeah. And I also, towards the end of my time there, I also started to set up a youth group in the Mossman Church with another lady who also was involved in the women's ministry. We tried to set up a youth group there, but that didn't go too well because I started working at Auscare the last month of my time, and I started doing night shifts. So, so I had to sort of leave it in her hand to run it, but she, just didn't feel like she was capable of doing it without me. And I also had the privilege of taking three young 15-year-old girls down to a Youth Alive concert in Cairns at one time, and it was the first time that they'd ever been to anything like that, and they were really touched, and they all three of them went up the front at the end and gave their hearts to Jesus, and they came out of it really excited and wanting to go to another one in the future. So I'm hoping that they will go to another one. And I also did some research projects for Carl. One was looking at setting up a family daycare for next year. So I did quite a bit of stuff for him for that. And also towards the end of my time there, which I didn't finish, was also a research project on setting up an employment agency out in Mareeba. I think that's going to be sometime next year also. So that's all pretty much what I did in the last 3 months of being there. And next year I'm going back up in January, mid-January. They're starting up a Bible college up there. Well, they have meant to have already started. It was meant to start in beginning of November, but there's been a bit of a hold up. So, I'm not too sure what's going on there, but I should hear about that this coming week. But anyway, I'm going up to help set up the family daycare up there. That's going to be conjoined with Bible College. And yeah, and just see what else comes about. But yeah, that's what I'm going to be doing up there next year, and that will probably at this stage be for about 6 months. So yeah, and also next year I'd like to go out to Northern Territory and places like that. Yeah, so hoping to do something like that also. So yeah, I think that's it.
So just while you're here, Jess, just with the time that you spent up there, and I reckon with what I know of Carl, you were fortunate to have seen Carl at all, because he's like a ship in the night, isn't he? He's always out doing stuff.
Yeah, he's quite often spends most of his time out in the Northern Territory. So, yeah, when it's not the wet season, he's out there pretty much 6 months of the year in the Northern Territory. So.
So during your time up there, Jess, what really stands out, either an event that took place or something that you felt was planted in your heart there and you've come away with that, and that's growing in your heart?
Yeah, I really felt like a real connection with the women up there, like in the women's ministry and that. They were pretty amazing ladies, and yeah, just built up a real relationship with those ladies. So, but yeah, unfortunately, next year I'll be a bit further away from them, but hoping to, only about an hour's drive, so hoping to still be able to spend a bit of time with them and stuff. And actually one lady and a husband and wife are actually going to be going to the Bible College next year too, from Mossman. So yeah, it's exciting. And also a couple of people from Northern Territory are going to be at the Bible College that I got connected with, so yeah, it'd be nice to be around them next year.
Absolutely. For those who are praying for you, Jess, for what you're doing on the coast now and for what you're looking forward to going into next year, what's the best thing that we could pray for as we think about Jess Earle and pray for her?
I don't know. I guess maybe just more direction, and my accommodation's still a bit uncertain yet. There's two options being thrown around, so I'll either be at the base in Mareeba or at a place called Tolgal, where some people are living, which is actually in between Mareeba and Malanda, because I'm going to be working at the Auscare up in Malanda, so it's going to be closer to work for me. But still waiting to hear about that, but I don't know what else I need prayer for.
There's plenty of things to pray for, I guess, but it's good to be able to hear those details, isn't it, and be able to pray into those. And we thank God for Jess. We thank God that he's brought her to us. I probably met Jess first years ago, long time ago. We were both a lot younger, and Jess was doing some work experience for us, and I've gotten to know her much better since then. And I've seen the touch of God, the imprint of God all over her, the Spirit of Jesus Christ being made manifest in and through her. And it's exciting to see her go off. She's good at heading off. She's headed off to Thailand already by herself and just spent time there, and headed off to work with the Indigenous peoples of Australia, and going back again. And there are people out of this family here who have done that before, Jess, and we just honour you and honour God who lives in you, who's taking you on this journey. Let's just join together and pray for Jess. She can say something just before we pray.
I just want to just say that don't let fear hold you back. Because I let fear hold me back for a long time, and it's not really worth it, even though I struggle a little bit with that fear, but it's just about stepping out and just seeing where God takes you and that, and just yeah, trusting in him in the time and just looking to him because, yeah, he's always with us no matter where we are and, yeah, he won't, yeah, leave us. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good word. A good word. Perfect love casts out fear. And, Father, we pray that Jess increasingly would know your perfect love over her life. I thank you that it's a love that has called her out. It's a voice that she has listened to. It's the voice of a shepherd calling her with loving tones and saying, come, follow me. It's the voice that says, I will never leave you and never forsake you. It's the voice that says, if I'm for you, who can be against you? It's the voice that says, I have a perfect plan and a perfect purpose for your life. It's the voice that says, you are made in my image and I make you perfect and do a good work in and through you. And so we pray your anointing and your blessing over Jess Earle. We thank you for the blessing that she is to this family. And we thank you that as we send her out from here, she goes not just with our blessing, but she goes carrying your blessing. She carries it to hungry hearts, to thirsty souls. She carries it to people crying out to be fed, to people crying out for living water. I pray that you would fill her more full than she has ever been before. I pray that you would show her things she's never seen before. I pray that you would open doors that no man could shut. I pray that you would open doors in her life that cause people to say, is this Jess Earle? It looks like Jess Earle, but this woman is bold and courageous and fearless. And I pray that that spirit of fearlessness would increasingly come upon this woman of God, that she would follow in the footsteps of Ruth and Esther and Deborah and mighty women of God who have stood and declared, if God is for us, who can be against us? So bless her and keep her and use her for your name's sake, we pray. Amen. Bless you, Jess. Look forward to hearing about the next chapter in your journey. Isn't it exciting that we can have people come in, we can send them back out again? We're ascending and receiving church, and we want to see more of it. Cheryl and I were at a conference once, and the speaker, I remember him saying, if I'm back next year, I don't want to see any of you here. Because I want you to be out there. And it's kind of what we are saying to those in Flame Tree. Sure, we want you here, but we want you there. And thanks, Jeff, for bringing that word tonight, because I feel like just got a couple of things to share, and I feel like something you touched on in that picture that you brought to us is just something that I want to touch on tonight as well. A long time ago, I went to primary school. Back then, they did have primary schools, and I participated. I went to Nambour Primary School. Not sure that it was ever the same again, but I went through there. And there are many things that you remember from your school days. Maybe as you get older, you become more reflective and you think about things, you think about events, you think about teachers, think about peers, all sorts of events that happened during those times. Somehow they seem to take on more significance. I'm not sure whether they deserve that significance, but they seem to take it on anyway. And I was reflecting on what I felt the Lord wanted me to share tonight, which is the power of declaration. And I remembered that I think I was in about year seven, and we had a rugby league coach. We were in different houses, as you have in school, and the teachers, the male teachers, organised this rugby league competition between the different houses. And the house that I was in, we had a teacher assigned to it, and he grabbed all the boys to put them into a team. We were a bunch of misfits, so he had to mould this bunch of misfits into a team that could at least play as a team. And he used to say the same thing to us all of the time. He'd get us together for training, and he said the same thing again and again and again. And he'd sit us down in front of him, and he'd get up quite close, and he'd look at us as he said these words, and here's this bunch of misfits sitting around there, and he would say to us, "You boys are worth your weight in bottle tops." And he said that again and again. "You're worth your weight in bottle tops." And I didn't know really what it meant. I still don't have a clue what it means. But it seemed quite good. It was like he was praising us. You boys are good. You're worth, you know, you're worth something. And the other thing that he kept on saying to us was, "You boys have got so much potential." He said it again and again, and I didn't. Back then, I wasn't really sure what potential was. He said, "You boys have got so much potential. You've got so much potential. You've got so much potential." And he said it again and again and again. And I don't think we even knew what potential was, but we felt like this guy believes in us. We're worth our weight in bottle tops, whatever that means, and we've got potential, whatever that means. This guy believes in us. And he so believed in us that he got us to do things that we couldn't have done otherwise. He so believed in us. Now, this was back in the day where summer, the boys played cricket. Winter, the boys played rugby league. So it was simple. With the oval, there was a concrete pitch there. In summer, you had the concrete pitch exposed so you could play cricket. In winter, you went to the local sawmill and you got a truckload of sawdust and you just put sawdust over the top of the cricket pitch so that when you fell on it, you didn't fall on the concrete unless the sawdust had worn away there, and then you fell on it. And if you fell on it and got injured, back in those days, people went, "Well, that was your fault, wasn't it?" Things have changed. But he would take us out onto the field where the cricket pitch was, and he'd make sure there was a nice layer of sawdust built up all over the cricket pitch, and then he would get guys to stand along there. This was the primitive tackling bag. There was no such thing as tackling bags back then. Tackling bags were people. So you just used people to tackle, because that's what you were going to tackle on the field. So we had these guys lined up along the sawdust-covered cricket pitch. And then metres back, he drew this line. And to the rest of us, he said, "Okay, boys, I want you to run in. And when you get to that line, I want you to dive at the guys on the cricket pitch. And I want you to tackle them around the legs," because that's what we were taught. You tackle them around the legs. Why? Because you can't run without legs. That was drilled into us. So you tackle them around the legs. And I remember looking at it going, whoa, boy, that looks like a long way. And we started to go in and do it. And this was the guy who had said to us, "You're worth your weight in bottle tops. You boys have got a lot of potential. You guys have got so much potential." And we actually believed that if he said we could dive from there and tackle these guys, that we could probably do it. And you know what? We did. We astonished ourselves. We flew through the air and tackled these poor dummies, crash test dummies, standing in the sawdust on the cricket pitch, and everybody did it. I was astonished. Nobody even said, "Oh, I'm not going to try that." It was like, he believes in us. If he says we can do that, well, we're going to give it a shot and we're going to knock these guys over. And every time we did it, he'd clap and cheer and say, "Good on you, boys. You've got so much potential. Good on you. You do that in the match." So we played that season after his training and we didn't lose a game. And it wasn't because we were the best bunch of misfits. It was because we had this guy who believed in us, and he used to get excited. When we did stuff that we couldn't do before, he would get excited, and we'd get caught up in his excitement as well. Like, this guy really, he enjoys this, and he did. He enjoyed it even more when we won, which we did frequently. And I remember the last game of the season, there were lots of boys and more wanted to join the team. And the last game of the season, I was really, really disappointed because I was stood down to make room for another guy. And a miracle happened on the day. The other guy was sick and he didn't get there. And I got back in the team and I showed him, because it was my last game in primary school, and I scored 3 tries. And I reckon that was a good way to go out of primary school. The reason I tell you that story is because there's power in declaration. We were not the best bunch of rugby league players, but he believed in us. Why? Well, we're worth our weight in bottle tops. Whatever that means, I think it's pretty good. We're good. We've got potential. Whatever that is, it must be good because we've got it. And you know, that's what God says over our lives. You don't know what potential I've put in you guys. And he rejoices over seeing us do things that we couldn't do before. Because we believe that greater is he who is in us than he is who is in the world. And the world says, you can't do that. And he says, come on, you can do it. You can give it a shot. Jess talked about that before. How dare you go off to Thailand by yourself? How dare you go up to North Queensland by yourself? But the coach who believes in you says, come on, let's do this. The shepherd is calling us out, saying, come on. And he's declaring over us truth. And he wants us to declare over ourselves and over each other truth. You can do this. And one of the ways that we declare that is with words. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I probably don't need to convince anybody here tonight that death and life are in the power of the tongue. There probably isn't a person sitting here tonight who hasn't had words of death spoken into their lives. While I talk about this one teacher who lifted us up, in the very same school, I remember another one, and another teacher, and he would pick on the same guy every day, and he'd tell him how he'd amount to nothing, he'd be a loser. Why was this guy a teacher, for crying out loud? He just spoke negativity over his life, spoke death over this guy's life all of the time, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. You see, the tongue has great power. You've all heard the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Well, it's not true. It's not true. Because you recover far better from a broken bone than you do from words of death spoken over your life. It's much easier to set a bone in a plaster cast than to repair somebody who's had words of death spoken over them. The writer Mark Twain was so aware of this that he said, I can go for 3 months on one good compliment. So he searched around, and if somebody paid him a compliment, he grabbed that and he nursed that and he nurtured it. He went, they told me I was good. So often, though, don't we nurse and nurture the hurtful words? Don't we nurture the words of death spoken over our lives? So that 20 years later, 30 years later, 50 years later, it's just as if they were spoken right now. I remember my dad he'd had a difficult life because he never really had a mum. She died when he was 6 days old, so he never knew what it was like to have a mum. So there were certain things that were difficult in his life, and so he'd been brought up, I guess, in different families, and it was too painful for him to talk about. But I remember at times it would come out and he would say things that perhaps he had rehearsed, and I'm sure things that had been said to him, like, "You naughty little boy," that had been spoken into his life. And I used to grieve for him as I saw these things come out, because, you know, 50, 60, 70 years later, they were still there. I praise God that my dad doesn't have to worry about it anymore. He's free of all of that with Jesus, and that's a good thing. Psalm 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So we want what's inside that's good to come out of our mouths. We want to bless one another. And Jeff spoke about those woolly sheep. I'm not as woolly as I used to be. I just can't maintain it anymore. But I know what Jeff meant, the woolly sheep that were encouraging one another. Are encouraging one another towards the shepherd. And that's a good thing. That's such a good thing. It's a great picture. I love those shepherd pictures, Jeff. Love them. Because he's our shepherd. And when we say he's our shepherd, we don't need anything else, because we've got the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, because I've got the shepherd and he has me. As we're talking about words, you can't get past James 3, the untamable tongue. It says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are very large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity." This is what James says. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. "The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile, creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring bring forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh." A stark revelation of what the tongue is like. It's like a bit in a horse's mouth, and the bit directs which way the horse goes. It's like a ship's rudder. Small rudder directs a large ship. Yesterday, down near where we live, we had a grass fire that almost burned out a large section of Mooloola National Park, Mooloola River National Park. And that fire just started from a small spark. That's all it took. And these tongues, these worlds of iniquity, when we try to rule them, start bushfires that burn things out. All that comes from is a small spark. It starts a bushfire, a world of iniquity. It defiles the whole body. It can't be tamed. It's full of deadly poison and cursings. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." And I just mentioned this word edification. It's a fancy sounding word, but it just means building one another up. I won't ask for a show of hands, but who likes being built up? Yeah. And that's what our football coach did all those years ago. He kept on building us up. I believe the Lord wants a part of our daily business to be asking him the question, "Lord, who can I build up today and how?" We can make it a part of our mission. Today, I'm going to build somebody up. And it's not difficult. Today, I'm going to build somebody up. And it might even be that we smile at them. It might be that we just say, "Hey, Sarah, how's your day going?" Quite often in our culture, we start off with, "Well, I'm having a bad day. What about you?" And pretty soon everybody around us is having a bad day, but we are to build one another up. Proverbs 12:18, "There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise," get this, "promotes health." In this family and in this community, one of the ways that we can usher in health is just speaking to one another, building up. I've got to tell you this because this promotes health. Even studies that have been shown of people in families where people live in a positive environment, where people are being built up constantly, there are less medical problems in those families than in families where they are picking at one another and they are sniping at one another and they are fault finding. If you live in an environment of fault finding, I've got to tell you, if there's anything good about a fault finding environment, it's this: you never run out of ammunition. There's always ammo because we are imperfect beings. Is it easy to find fault? It's really easy. It's dead easy to find fault. But we are not old creations who are subject to the power of the tongue. We are new creations. We are new beings. We no longer live under that yoke. We now live under a yoke of love and freedom. And now we see not the bad side, not the downside, but we see how can we lift this person up. I often ask the Lord, I say to him, "Lord, what's the key to this person?" And he has never yet said, "Get your biggest, blackest Bible and go and whack them over the head with it." Mostly, he will give me keys to build people up, to unlock doors through words of encouragement, through words of interest, through words of lifting them up, through words of recognizing you have great potential. And I could point to anybody in this building tonight and say, "You have great potential, Noah. Leader, you have incredible potential." And I could go around the room. Because if you are a created being, created in the image of Jesus Christ, and you are, then you have great potential. So we can speak words of life, because pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Have you ever found somebody who's got a bit of a sour look on their face and you speak words of life and encouragement to them and you see their face split with a smile like a split watermelon? It's great, isn't it, when you see that? And it's like, "You're talking to me?" "Yep, I'm talking to you. Because that's who you are. You are good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life." And I pray that in this place, the wholesome tongues that are here will continue to cause that tree, that flame tree, to grow and to blossom and to burn. Words of life, wholesome words, are a tree of life. And I pray that in this place, that's what we will be more and more famous for. How we build one another up with our words. Romans 10, 6 to 10, I find really, really interesting concerning words and what we confess. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? This is what it says. The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is talking about the way in which we are saved is believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth. We simply say, he has done this for me. And we can say it in all sorts of fashions. And it might just be the word yes, or the thief on the cross simply looked at Jesus and said, remember me when you go into your kingdom. That was it. But that came out of his heart. We have been given renewed hearts. And if the words of our mouths are so powerful that they can usher in salvation, imagine how powerful our words are to build up those around us. Imagine what we can unleash for good with the words of our mouths because of what's in our heart. The words of our mouths are really, really powerful. Really powerful. The enemy wants to shut us down and tell us, oh, it's just you speaking. And I want to say, it's not you, it's not me, it's the word of faith, and that faith has come from heaven. It's come from heaven to us. So we are speaking heaven as we build people up. It's not just, oh, well, I thought I'd tell them something good. You're speaking heaven into their lives. You're speaking edification. You're speaking growth into their lives. Don't disdain or despise this and say, oh, it was only me. It wasn't only you. It wasn't only me. This is the word from heaven. We build people up. We can build complete strangers up. We can plant a seed in their heart that God causes to grow and prosper and bear fruit. All we did was say something to them to build them up, and we planted a seed there. If the declared word can bring salvation, imagine what else that it can do. We need to declare over our lives and over the lives of others what God declares, and we need to do away with the stuff that sounds humble but is a lie. And God took Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, to task over Jeremiah sounding pious and humble. And maybe it even sounded true, but God took him to task and he said, do not say, this is God speaking to Jeremiah, do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. So we are not to say, I'm just me, I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too whatever. Bless you, Jess, for the word that you shared with us tonight. Because God says, what you say about yourself does not define you. It's what I say about you that defines who you are. Donna can say whatever she likes about herself, but the thing that counts is what God says over Donna's life. That is truth. And the more Donna speaks that over her life, the more powerful her words and actions will become. Because she is living, walking, speaking out the truth. Because words are very, very, very powerful. If you are not sure, well, what do I say? As Moses asked, God said to him, now therefore, go and I will be with your mouth. I'll be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. God is the God of your mouth. He's the God of my mouth. If he's the God of our mouths, then only good stuff should be proceeding from our mouths. Do you agree? Only good stuff should be coming out. He says, I'll be with your mouth. Where's God? Well, he's God of the mouth. He's God of my mouth. So the more that I speak what he puts in my mouth, the more I will see powerful things happen. I can speak from Nambour to things in other countries, and those words are powerful and have an effect, even though I'm not there. Why? Because God's there, and he's the God of this mouth. And what I speak in his name through this mouth has an effect. Imagine the effect that it has on each other as we speak God's words to one another. We must speak the truth in love. Have you ever had somebody come up to you and say, I'm saying this to you in love? And they have to say that because if they didn't tell you that it was in love, you might think that it was otherwise. So they have to tell you, this is in love, brother, because I really care about you. I have yet to find one of those people who reminds me that it's in love that is really telling me that it's in love. There are people who've said some hard things to me and they didn't have to remind me that they were telling me these things in love, but I sensed that they loved me. And that's why they were telling me these things. And they didn't need to go, this is in love, brother. They just told me because it was God wanting to do some stuff in my life and wanting to build me up. It was God calling me out, calling my potential out, saying, Paul Lanham, you've got potential because I live in you. So let's speak the truth genuinely in love and not have to tell people that it's in love. We get caught up in all sorts of cultural stuff, and it's not always good. The Apostle Paul, writing to Titus, talked about one in the church that Titus had to oversee. Poor old Titus was given a big task. And the Apostle Paul talks about one of the people there, or one of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. That's a good thing to have in your church, isn't it? Somebody who goes around calling people lazy gluttons, always liars, evil beasts. That was designed not to build up the church terribly much. And in fact, Paul was saying this because we need to speak the truth in love, not getting caught up in generalizations about people and things. And we do, and it's kind of, sometimes it can be a little bit funny, other times it can just be downright annoying and pulls one another down. Over the years, I guess, there have been many jokes about, for example, women drivers. You know, there's a woman driver there. And look, there's a degree of humour attached to it, but I think in many cases it's gone beyond that and we're actually pulling one another down. We are not building one another up, we are pulling one another down. Or we can talk about, and I acknowledge it in my own life, having a man look, you know, man's inability to find things when they're staring them in the face like this. And there's a degree of truth to it, but in our society we can go beyond the truth to speaking words that pull one another down. We do it really easily, and God, I ask that you would catch me and pull me up when I do it. And God, I ask that in this church you would pull us up when we do that, when we are speaking words that are not building up but are pulling down. Help us, I pray. We speak it over our children. Oh, they're going through the terrible twos. I cringe when I hear that. Why speak curses over your life? Don't speak it over my children. The terrible twos, the terrible teens, the blah, 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 blah. Children are a gift from God, heritage from God. Are we going to curse what is a gift? Are we going to curse what is a heritage? Are we going to talk about the terrible twos, the terrible teens? The 50s can be pretty darn annoying. We've all got problems for that matter. Let's not speak curses over one another. Let's look for blessings. Bless children, little kids who've got energy and vision, who are surprised by things. Bless God for teenagers who are finding out who they are, who are testing the boundaries, who are wondering what God's got for them, discovering increasingly their identity and their strength. Bless God for them. Bless God for each of the age groups. Let's bless and not curse. There's even cultural generalizations on the coast about people from Nambour, perhaps. Ah, can anything good come from Nambour? I think so. Yeah, I think so. There are many characters in the Bible who went through great difficulties, but out of those difficulties they spoke words that lifted up. We think of Joseph and Moses and David, and of course Jesus himself, the ultimate character, who when he was cursed and reviled, didn't curse and revile back. Let's make declarations that build one another up. Let's make declarations that cause growth. Let's make declarations that bring peace. Let's make declarations that call out the character of Christ in one another. Just as we finish up tonight, I'm going to get the band to come back and just play. And I've got work for you guys to do. So those of you who have nodded off, if the person next to you has nodded off, just prod them, wake them up, because I've got work for you guys to do. I want you, so band, if you can come up now, that would be great. I would like you guys to do some work tonight. I've got some sheets of paper and some pens. And I want you on these sheets of paper to write out some declarations that could be personal declarations or declarations over this church, declarations over this community, declarations that are good, that are life-giving, that bring prosperity, that bring hope, that bring a future. And you can write on these pieces of paper, you can use them portrait style or landscape style. Probably landscape is going to be the easiest for us to use, but we're going to collect them at the end so you don't have to put your name on them. And we're just going to display them around the place to cause this place to be built up with good declarations. Now, I brought this thing in here tonight. This is the Flame Tree Legacy. This normally hangs up on the wall out in the foyer there. And it's a good thing, but it's talking about building a facility here, and that's great. I'm all for building a facility, but this is not the church. I've got to tell you, this isn't the church. This is the church. This is the church. And I've brought this in tonight to say, it's great to build a facility for the church, but this isn't the church. This is the church. This is the church body. And it's great to be able to put bricks and mortar and footings in the ground and build stuff. And it's great to have a facility. But I've got to tell you, that is nothing compared to what we are talking about in building one another up. This is the real deal. This is the best building, where we get to build one another up. So we're going to put stuff on here that is even more, and I apologize if I'm out of line with this, this is even more important than this. Because if we don't have this, that's pointless. I don't want to be in a facility like that without this. Do you get it? Are you with me? Because we're just wasting our time. If we're going to build something like that to house dead men's bones, we want to see this a life-giving place. And I bless God for that facility. And we look forward to it being built, but filled with people who are building one another up and speaking words of life and speaking growth over one another. So we're going to put some of these things up around the house and say, these are the foundations of our house. Not even this. This is the foundation of our house. So as these guys play, just come out. Look, if you don't want to do this, that's okay. You just meditate, bless God, pray, just receive His blessing over your life. But if you would like to be involved in this, take a couple of sheets, take some pens, and just write a declaration or two on these sheets. And then when you're finished, you can just come and put it back here. We won't prolong the night. You can make it as artistic or not artistic as you like, but let's build some great foundations in this place tonight. You can even take a few different coloured pens if you like. You can get your favourite colours and make it artistic if you like. You can stay out the front and draw on the floor, or not on the carpet, on the paper. You can lie down on the floor, or you can even go to the lectern if you like. Just look for what God wants you to declare in this place, declare over people's lives, declare over this house. Thank you. Continue working on those. And Father, we bless you. We bless you because you are the giver of all good gifts. I thank you that out of our mouths proceeds not bitter and sweet water, but sweet water, because you've poured sweetness upon us. Your words to us are like honeycomb. Your presence is like the rain, Spirit like the dew. Filling of your Spirit like a waterfall. And we bless you that we can bless one another. And we ask tonight, Lord, we dedicate ourselves afresh to you tonight to be bringers of good things, to be those who declare good things over one another, who declare good things over this house. And we bless you because everything about you is good. It's kind, it's loving. And we say thank you, and we bless you tonight as we bless one another in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So you can, look, that's the end of our service tonight. Continue working on these and you can come up. I just leave this pile here. You can come up and have a read through them. But in the weeks ahead, we're just going to put them up around the place. Go and read them and declare them over this house, because God is in this house for good, to build a house of living stones. So God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week in Jesus' name.